CBS News, this is Doug Poling. The end of the campaign trail. Gary Hart is breaking off his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination and is preparing to face reporters once again in what's described as the formal announcement that he is bowing out. Hart's brief presidential bid began to unravel this week when the Miami Herald reported the candidate had been visited in his Washington townhouse by part-time actress Donna Rice. Hart spent the better part of the past 4 days denying any wrongdoing, but the questions persisted, questions reflected in opinions voiced in Des Moines.
I mean, if he cheats on his wife, he'll cheat on the country.
I think they should leave him alone.
The position he was in, he should have known better than to be doing the things that he's been doing.
I'm kind of disappointed in him. You got to have some values.
The Washington Post reported today that it had approached the Hart campaign with information about a long-term relationship between the candidate and the Washington woman. According to one aide, that simply accelerated the inevitable. More news in a moment.
Ridiculous. I'm the world's foremost symphony conductor, and they give me the gate after one performance?
Well, I have a cassette of that performance right here. Let's play it in my concert hall on wheels.
I say, this Lincoln has the Ford JBL audio system.
Uh-huh. 12 perfectly matched speakers. 140 watts of total system power.
Listen to those subtle harmonic overtones. What was that?
A flatted French horn, sir.
I didn't hear that on the podium.
Well, this Ford JBL audio system catches every nuance, sir, and
yes, I know, but... Oh, good heavens! What's that? It sounds like a flute being stuffed down an oboe.
The woodwinds got in a fight. It's all on this Ford JBL audio system.
What are you going to believe? Me or this sound system? I understand the Fiji Philharmonic needs a new conductor.
The new Ford JBL audio systems exclusively for Lincoln Continental, Town Car, and now Mark 7. More proof from Ford audio systems that quality is job one.
For a fourth day, retired General Richard Secord is recalling his dealings in the Iran-Contra affair. Secord began his testimony this morning by saying he wants any funds left over from the deals donated to the Contras through a special William Casey fund. And the general reasserted his basic belief in the operations he helped carry out.
What I have a problem with is the continual assumption that in this country that covert operations are wrong. I mean, this is a dangerous world we live in today, and sometimes the president, who has the responsibility for security of this nation, largely, in my opinion, has to have this tool available. They use it seldom. Sometimes you have to use it.
As Secord was testifying, another key player, Colonel Oliver North, made a surprise appearance in a Washington federal court. North attended a closed hearing in what's described as a sealed grand jury matter. Soviet officials are saying a freighter has been attacked by Iranian forces in the Persian Gulf. More from Ann Anderson in Moscow.
The official Soviet news agency TASS called the incident a pirate attack. TASS said the Soviet freighter, the Ivan Korotev, received serious damage in Thursday's attack in the Gulf. TASS said the Soviet freighter was subjected to intensive rocket and machine gun fire from boats with no identifiable markings. The TASS said no crew members were hurt. TASS reported the Soviet freighter was sailing from Novorossiysk to the Saudi Arabian port of Daman. It carried a cargo of building materials and drainage pipes. Nowhere in its report of the incident did TASS mention Iran. Last year, Iran seized and searched a Soviet freighter, but this was the first time a Soviet freighter was attacked. TASS said the Soviets are conducting a thorough investigation. Ann Anderson for CBS News, Moscow.
Israeli warplanes have again run a raid against suspected Palestinian guerrilla targets in southern Lebanon. Police near the port city of Sidon say as many as 10 people were killed. Unemployment in the U.S. last month hit its lowest level in a decade, falling by 0.3% to 6.3% of the workforce. New jobs were created in construction, retail, trade, and health services. The nation's top business leaders have released their semi-annual economic forecast, predicting modest growth over the next 2 years. But the Business Council survey warns of rising threats of recession because of the weak dollar and higher inflation. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrials are down 14.49, the volume 92,020,000 shares.
I have used another temporary service in the past, and they just didn't meet up to my standards, and now I only use Kelly.
And you have high standards?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And Kelly meets those standards?
Very much so. With Kelly Services, I get my money's worth.
Why?
Because they match you with people that you need.
Really?
They always call me up, too, after an assignment and ask me how the person worked out.
Typists, receptionists, secretaries?
Yes. We've not only had people work up in the front offices, but we've had people doing clerical-type duties. And they always send a very good match to us.
Is that a way of eliminating temporary risk?
It does eliminate a lot of risk for me.
How?
Well, if I don't get someone in here that's going to do the job, then I'm wasting a lot of money.
So nobody tries as hard to make sure you get your job done as Kelly Services, the Kelly Grill people?
Nobody does try as hard as Kelly.
The first and the best?
Definitely.
There's been a laying off of hands at the PTL ministry. According to the Charlotte Observer, as many as 200 workers, about a tenth of the staff, are going to be let go in an effort to cut costs. PTL is said to be as much as $50 million in debt. The charismatic ministry is trying to reorganize following the sex scandal that led to the fall of founder Jim Baker. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS News Special Report, an announcement from Gary Hart. I'm Judy Muller in New York. Democratic presidential candidate Gary Hart is at the Executive Tower Inn in Denver. He's expected to announce his withdrawal from the race. He's accompanied by his wife, Lee. This has been a stunning reversal for the front runner. The decision follows a week of allegations about Hart's relationship with a young woman from Miami, allegations he's denied, but about which he has admitted poor judgment. His decision reportedly was accelerated by the Washington Post. A Post reporter told the Hart campaign that the newspaper had documented evidence of Hart's long-term affair with an unidentified woman in Washington. Now, the prospect of more negative stories about this so-called womanizing issue, the prospect of campaign contributions drying up on top of a large debt left over from the last campaign, and possibly the prospect of more stress on his family. All these may have contributed to what must have been an agonizing decision for Hart, who up until a few days ago, as we said, was considered the front runner among the Democrats. He has spent 6 years fighting for the presidential nomination. It all came to an end when he brought Donna Rice to his Washington townhouse last weekend. That story was reported by the Miami Herald, and it has come under some criticism for the tactics it used by stationing 5 reporters outside across the street from Hart's townhouse to keep watch on his activities, the comings and goings of Rice and Hart that weekend. They left the back door unguarded for a few hours, and that was apparently a lapse in their stakeout, which led to quite a bit of criticism of that story. However, the story continued to dog Hart all week long. He went to New Hampshire. It continued to dog him there. And then the Post reporter allegedly took this new information to the Hart staff. And the Hart staff took it to Hart himself, and that apparently clinched it. At the Executive Tower Inn at this moment, the room where Hart is expected to make his announcement is jammed with reporters from the national press, from the local press. Outside, as Hart arrived in his car, a good 12 minutes late, we should add, people across the street cheered, "Yay, Gary." Hart obviously is still a popular figure in Denver, at least. We are awaiting his entrance into the room where he will be making his announcement, what must be one of the most difficult announcements of his life. This womanizing issue has plagued Hart for many years. The rumors were there when he was running for the Senate in Colorado. But no reporters ever gave names, dates, facts, the things that are required to nail it down. The Miami Herald changed all that. There is some fear now that no political candidate will be safe from invasion of his privacy. And that has been an ethical question raised for journalists. Harry Smith is in Denver, a CBS News reporter. We asked, what will be the immediate impact of the Hart withdrawal on the campaigns of the other Democrats, Joe Biden, Michael Dukakis, maybe even Mario Cuomo, should he decide to run?
The thing that we're wondering about here is maybe where, since Hart had such a terrific campaign staff assembled, where the loyalties of these people are going to go. And it was well acknowledged that his campaign staff was by far probably the best of all the campaign staffs. And I think that is going to have a lot to do with maybe the fortunes of some of those candidates you just mentioned.
Thank you, Harry Smith. Hart and his wife, Lee, have just walked up to the microphones, and he's about to speak.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
apologize for being late. There was a little traffic coming down Bear Creek Canyon this morning. I'd intended, quite frankly, to come down here this morning and read a short, carefully worded political statement saying that I was withdrawing from the race and then quietly disappear from the stage. And then after, frankly, tossing and turning all night, as I have for the last three or four nights, I woke up about 4 or 5 this morning with a start. And I said to myself, hell no. I'm not going to do that because it's not my style and because I'm a proud man and I'm proud of what I've accomplished. Let's hold down the applause. Thank you. I appreciate it, but let's get through this. Now, clearly, Lee and I have never had a tougher week, but I'm not a beaten man. I'm an angry and defiant man. I've said that I bend, but I don't break. And believe me, I'm not broken. So instead of getting this over fast, I'm going to just kind of talk a while about this week and the times that we're in. Frankly, the hardest part about making this decision has been my children. They're both more angry and confused than I've ever seen them in their lives. And very frankly, they're angry at me, their father. They don't want me to get out of this race. And, you know, I believe that there are also a lot of angry and confused voters out around this country. So what I have to say here is both for my children and for those voters. Since getting into politics a long time ago, there are at least two things I haven't been very good at: talking about myself and playing the political game. But I've never felt the voters really cared about either one of those things, frankly. They're smart enough to know who you are without you telling them. You look them in the eye and you talk to them and they decide whether you're telling the truth or not. So I haven't spent a lot of time and effort trying to create an image. I am who I am, take it or leave it. And frankly, I'm pretty happy with who I am, and evidently some voters have been also. I haven't based my campaigns on the support of politicians, even though some of them are my very best friends. With all due respect, most politicians, with the exception of a few with great courage, wait to see how political events are breaking before risking their political capital, and I understand that. But what this means, together with the rest of it, is that I guess I've become some kind of a rare bird, some extraordinary creature that has to be dissected by those who analyze politics to find out what makes them tick. Well, I resist that. And so then I become cool and aloof or elusive or enigmatic or whatnot. And then the more people want to talk about me, the more I resist it, and so on. And so it gets to be like the cat chasing its tail. Now, a number of friends of mine around the country will tell you that in the weeks leading up to this race, I gave serious thought to not running for president. In many ways, I didn't want to. It's because I had to do a number of these profiles, and I could see what was happening. I was going to be the issue. Now, I don't want to be the issue, and I cannot be the issue, because that breaks the link between me and the voters. And that's what I tried to explain to my children. If someone's able to throw up a smokescreen and keep it up there long enough, you can't get your message across. You can't raise the money to finance a campaign. There's too much static, and you can't communicate. In the final analysis, the American people decide what qualities are important to govern this country in the national interest, and they haven't been heard from yet. The last public event we did was night before last in Littleton, New Hampshire. There were maybe 100, 150 people there, the height of the circus. And not one question about me. People there wanted to know about everything from South Africa to AIDS to Ireland to daycare to job training to Central America, and the list went on. I doubt any of that got on the evening news. And that's the point. In public life, some things may be interesting, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're important. Whether I changed my name or still owe campaign debts may be interesting at least for a while. But for most people in this country, that's not what concerns them. For the farmers in Amarillo, the oil field workers in Louisiana, the steel workers in Pennsylvania, I can tell you because I've listened to them, they want jobs. Their kids want a chance to get an education. And like all the rest of us, they don't want to be killed by some nuclear weapon. But if you're going to have to spend all your time talking about yourself, and you're not particularly good about that anyway, then you cannot maintain that link with the voters that lets you listen to their concerns and offer your ideas and proposals. And that's about where we are today. Now, clearly, under present circumstances, this campaign cannot go on. I refuse to submit my family and my friends and innocent people and myself to further rumors and gossip. It's simply an intolerable situation. I believe I would have been a successful candidate, and I know I could have been a very good president, particularly for these times. But apparently now we'll never know. I've had the support of some of the most talented people in this country, particularly young people. And I want to say to all of them today, march on. There's a lot of work to do. We're all going to have to seriously question a system for selecting our national leaders that reduces the press of this nation to hunters and presidential candidates to being hunted, that has reporters in bushes, false and inaccurate stories printed, photographers peeking in our windows, swarms of helicopters hovering over our roof, and my very strong wife close to tears because she can't even get in her own house at night without being harassed. And then after all that, the ponderous pundits wonder in mock seriousness why some of the best people in this country choose not to run for high office. Now I want those talented people who supported me to insist that this system be changed. Too much of it is just a mockery. And if it continues to destroy people's integrity and honor, then that system will eventually destroy itself. Politics in this country, take it from me, is on the verge of becoming another form of athletic competition or sporting match. We all better do something to make this system work, or we're all going to be soon rephrasing Jefferson to say, I tremble for my country when I think we may, in fact, get the kind of leaders we deserve. I say to my children and other frustrated and angry young people, I'm angry too. I've made some mistakes. I've said so. I said I would because I'm human. And I did. Maybe big mistakes, but not bad mistakes. But I'm an idealist, and I love this country deeply, and I want to serve this country. The events of this week should not deter any of you who are idealistic young people from moving on and moving up. I would say to the young people of this country, the torch of idealism burns bright in your hearts. It should lead you into public service and national service. It should lead you to want to make this country better. And whoever you are and whatever you do in that cause, at least in spirit, I will be with you. Thank you very much.
That was Democratic presidential candidate, former candidate Gary Hart, giving a withdrawal statement that sounded at first as though it was not going to be a withdrawal statement. I think there was some misunderstanding when he came in and he said, I'd planned a quiet, brief statement of withdrawal, but after tossing and turning all night, I said, hell no. That prompted a great deal of applause. I think a lot of people thought he meant he was not going to withdraw. In fact, he meant it wasn't going to be a brief statement, that he was not going to go quietly into that good night. Hart said, I'm not a beaten man. I'm an angry and defiant man. He said, I haven't spent a lot of time creating an image. I'm happy with who I am. And he repeated what he said before, I don't want to be the issue. He wants to get the issues that he feels are important out. And he felt that this campaign has taken a turn for the worst to the point where he cannot get those issues out and can no longer be a viable candidate. And he said because he will not subject his family and staff to the gossip and vicious rumors that have been going on this week, he will withdraw. He blamed a system that destroys the integrity of candidates. He accepted some blame, saying, I've made, perhaps, some big mistakes, but said they weren't bad mistakes. And so Gary Hart, defiantly, angrily, withdraws from the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. He leaves behind a wide open race for the spot of front runner, the next front runner, anyone's guess at this point. He has gotten into the car with his wife, Lee, who stood bravely on the sidelines, smiling, looking supportive throughout. They go to their home now in Troublesome Gulch, Colorado, just outside Denver. Hart's plans for the future not stated. This has been a CBS News special report, an announcement by Gary Hart. I'm Judy Muller, CBS News.